Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mystery Frequency 200th episode celebration. 200 episodes. Seems pretty crazy to me, but before I get into that, a few reminders that I want to get out of the way first. I like hearing from you guys, so the best way to contact me is my Gmail account at mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q, and Instagram at mysteryfrequency. It'd be great to see you guys there, and be sure to follow me when you do. The second thing is, I could not have made it 200 episodes if it weren't for you guys doing what you do, which is listening and enjoying the episodes. So please be sure to follow, rate, and most importantly, share with anyone you know who might like these types of shows. Now for the updates to the podcast. Now, these updates have come from my own plans on where I want the show to go, but also suggestions from you guys. So I'm pretty excited about all of these. The first is, I now have a website. And it took so long for that to happen because I didn't even think to make one. It was through suggestions from you guys that I decided to do it. So how to find that website? It is mysteryfrequency.weebly.com. And on the website, you'll be able to find links to everything that I have in regards to the show. You'll be able to find a place for all the episodes. And you'll also find a link to the second thing you guys have asked the most about, which is a merchandise shop. Yes, I've actually gotten questions about merch, so I decided to try it out. Nothing crazy, just a few items. Give it a look, and if you see something you like and you decide to pick it up, let me know. The last update is, I do now have a Patreon. Now first, let me tell you what the Patreon is not going to be used for. It is not going to be used for anything that I can use my podcast for. What does that mean? I'm not going to put any of the audio dramas on the Patreon. I'm not going to put any of my archived episodes on there as well. As long as my podcast hosting site does not run out of storage, then all the episodes are going to be right there on the podcast site. What I am going to use Patreon for is to put content that can't fit in the theme of the podcast, such as different styles of audio. There are some documentaries, that I think are pretty cool. There are comedies, things that don't fit into the theme, but mostly video. Without giving anything away, there are a lot of videos that I want to put on there. Ones that I think you all like. But, of course, that is optional. If you guys are happy with the audio dramas and crime fiction that's on the podcast now, then that won't change. If you are interested, you can find it on patreon.com/mysteryfrequency. And as always, I'll leave links in the descriptions. Now that that's out of the way, 200 episodes and over 40,000 downloads. It's crazy to think about. When I first started this podcast, I didn't think I was going to get any listeners or followers or downloads for that matter. I really just did this as a hobby, as something I was interested in, and I figured at the very least, I will have one place where I can listen to all these episodes that I like. That's what really made me do this. It was hard for me to find anything that had these kinds of stories that I liked, that did consistent uploads, and that had a variety. So the fact that I started it and so many other people clearly wanted the same thing that I did, to be able to listen to these stories again, a variety, consistent uploads, all in one place. It is amazing, and I cannot thank every one of you enough for making this just more and more fun for me to do. And hopefully you all will like the updates. Hopefully you'll like the website, the Patreon, but most of all, hopefully you guys will just keep doing what you're doing and listening to these great stories. What I'm going to start doing is at the beginning of every episode, I'm just going to pop in, welcome everybody, and just do a short introduction of the episode. And for those that just want to hear the episode, don't worry, it won't be anything crazy. Just a few seconds. I'm going to wrap this up by reminding you to check out the descriptions to find all the ways that you can contact me, the links to the site, to the merch shop, to the Patreon, everything like that. To ask you once again to follow, leave a rating. You don't even have to write anything. You can just leave a star rating, 5-star, and most importantly, to share. Let other people who like old-time radio or audio dramas or crime fiction, let them know about the show. Doing those three things really helped me out. And then lastly, to thank everyone again for 200 episodes, 40,000 downloads. It's amazing. Thank you again. And just a heads up, I do plan on playing the same audio on every show for this week as part of the 200 episode celebration. And with that, on with the show.
Springbok Radio presents The Uninvited. Have you heard them? Those fearful sounds in the dead of night. The muffled creak of a loosened board. The shuffling step of a ghostly figure. The eerie voice of the uninvited.
Hello, Mrs. Owens of Fairway, Durban.
Hello.
Mrs. Owens, how would you get these dirty white slacks white again in just one wash?
Just one wash?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll use my usual product, Surf. I find that the blue in the Surf brings out the whiteness.
Surf? You've been using it a long time?
Over 7 years, yes.
And what is the quality of surf that you think is so...
Well, it gets everything clean.
Well, there you are. Most housewives trust Surf with Super Blue for perfect whiteness in just one wash.
Why use up your hard-earned savings to pay for that overseas flight? Barclay Flight keeps your capital intact, keeps it working, earning interest for you. Barclay Flight, up to 2 whole years to pay for an overseas flight at installments so low that you won't want to touch your investments. Barclay Flight, no sureties, no forms, no waiting, no deposit. Show your Barclay card to your travel agent and keep your nest egg to come home to.
He tooted the horn to let the fellow on the road know he wanted him to get out of the way. For Stephen Holmes had urgent business in town and wasn't going to waste time with hitchhikers. Besides, it was lonely on the Cornish Road, and you could never tell about hitchhikers, and best not to have anything to do with them. No good. There the idiot stood fair in the middle of the road, and it was too dangerous to try to avoid him. Holmes would have to pull up.
Darn nuisance. I think you take a hint. Ah, well. Will you kindly get out of my way? I'm in a hurry.
I just want a lift, mister. Just a lift.
Sorry, I can't help you. Not today, anyway. I'm having trouble with the carburetor as it is. Engine won't idle. It just cuts out.
Get out of the car.
Eh? Here, what's the idea?
You heard me. Get out of the car. I need that crate and I'm going to have it.
You must be out of your mind.
This isn't a cap pistol, mister. Now, come on, out.
You can take your hand off that door. I'm not moving.
All right. You asked for it. What the devil?
As I thought, you were bluffing.
But it is loaded. There's something wrong with a fool thing.
You better get back to stealing women's handbags, my friend. Goodbye.
No, you don't. I want that car and let go. All right. You want to play it tough, I'll... Oh. Oh, keep away from me.
What the blazes?
No. No, keep away from me. No, please. Please keep away from me.
Mad. Completely off his rocker.
Stephen Holmes completed his drive to town, where he successfully concluded his business, the first part of which was to sell the nearly new car for some £700. However, he found it wasn't easy to dismiss from his mind the man on the road. And as a result of discussing the incident with the car dealer, he decided to make a call at the police station before he completed his business and caught the bus back home.
Take a seat, Mr. Holmes, will you? I'm Sergeant Ward.
Well, I don't have very much time, Sergeant.
Yes, that's all very well, sir. But you've made a statement about meeting this man on the road and being threatened.
And I was. But I suspect the fellow is just some crackpot who...
I'm afraid not, sir. I very much suspect it could have been Albert Tamblyn.
Who?
Albert Tamblyn. You must have read about him in the papers.
Tamblyn? Oh, you mean that man who murdered the farmer in Devon and got away
That's
with...
That's the one. Of course, we can't call him a murderer yet, you understand. We only want him for questioning.
It seems pretty obvious he did it from the paper reports.
Well, man to man, I agree, sir. But officially, we only want him for questioning. Now, this chap you met, a heavy-set dark man, very bushy eyebrows, rather piercing eyes.
Yes, that sounds very much like him. His nose was sort of flattened, as I recall, as though it had been broken and not set properly.
That's Tamblyn for sure.
Good heavens.
Yes, exactly. Now, suppose you tell me exactly what happened, Mr. Holmes.
Happened? He was there ahead of me on the road and waving for me to stop.
You were driving a car?
Yes, didn't I say that?
No. And... as you mentioned, something about catching a bus a minute ago.
I just sold the car, you see.
Oh, I see. Just a minute. Aren't you the chap who bought the old house out by Hammerhead Rock?
That's right. My wife and I rather...
I thought I remembered the name. There was all that business about the gold coins.
Yes, that's right.
Are you liking it out there, Mr. Holmes?
To tell the truth...
I heard you had a bit of trouble in a kind of way.
I'd rather not talk about it, if you don't mind. And my bus, if you want to hear about...
Of course. I'm sorry to get off the subject. About Tamblyn. We presume it was Tamblyn. You said he waved to you to stop.
And I did stop. I didn't have much choice. He was standing right in the middle of the road, which isn't very wide there.
Where was this exactly?
Just this side of that sharp bend from the hill, about 4 miles out.
Yes, I know the spot. What happened after you pulled up?
Well, he said he wanted a lift. Then when I refused, he produced a pistol. When I called his bluff, he tried to shoot me.
It was a dangerous thing to do, Mr. Holmes. Calling his bluff, you could have been killed.
Yes. Well, actually, the gun must be thought it wouldn't fire.
Really? That's interesting. Then we know he can't shoot us if we corner him. Yes, what then, sir?
Well, it was rather odd, actually. He was trying to drag me out of the car, and suddenly he stopped and cried out. There was a look of terror in his face, abject terror, as though he'd seen something horrible. He just took off yelling, "No, no," and so on.
What did he see?
Out there on the open road, wasn't anything to see. There was nothing at all. So he couldn't have... Unless...
Yes, Mr. Holmes? Unless what?
Oh, nothing. Well, that's all I can tell you, Sergeant. That's exactly what happened. If you'll excuse me, I really must catch that bus.
Very well, sir.
Come, darling.
Stephen, what happened? I was getting worried. I was expecting you on the first bus. Did something go wrong?
Oh, now, what could possibly go wrong? There, I'm home. Everything's all right.
You sold the car?
What a question. That's what I went to town for, wasn't it?
And the rest of it? You used the money to...
Most of it. Still have 50 we can call our own. Of course, if we hadn't bought the car in the first place, we'd have been better off. But we didn't realize, did we?
I hope it works, Stephen. I only hope it works.
Of course it'll work. It has to. After all, the message was quite obvious.
I don't think I could stand it otherwise. I couldn't go on living here, Stephen. I just couldn't.
I know. So it has to work. Because we'd never get our money back in the place we had to sell and move away. Not now.
That Mr. Gardner ought to be ashamed of himself, taking us in the way he did.
That's a bit rough, darling. But didn't exactly take us in, you know. He did say there was a story about the old house.
Stephen, if we have one more night like the others, I think I shall go right out of my mind.
Now, don't talk like that, Jan. We're not going to have another night like the others. And you're not going out of your mind. Nor are we going to move out. Everything's going to be all right, you'll see.
After this rather fraught interchange, Mr. and Mrs. Holmes had their evening meal and retired to bed early, for they were both rather tired. This was understandable, for if they were able, as Stephen had said they would be, to sleep through this night undisturbed, it would not only be a welcome relief, but rather remarkable. For since they'd bought this fascinating old house a few weeks before, laughing easily at the story of its being haunted, had scarcely known a full night's rest, and the matter of haunting had become far from a joke. It had started a bare week after they moved in. Well, Stephen, a normally sound sleeper, was awakened in the middle of the night by his wife shaking him.
Stephen? Stephen, wake up!
No?
Stephen, wake up!
What? What's that?
I heard something.
Heard something? What did you hear? I can't hear anything.
Not now, but it woke me up.
Well, what was it?
I don't know. A kind of a thumping upstairs.
Upstairs? Oh, come off it, old girl. There's nothing above us but the attic.
I know that. It sounded as though somebody was moving things about up there.
In the attic? Nonsense. You imagined it. Why, even if there were a burglar in the place, he wouldn't be up there.
Stephen, I'm frightened.
Oh, Jan, for heaven's sake. All right. I'll go up into the attic and take the torch and take a look. Will that make you happy?
Janet didn't want Stephen to go up to the attic, but on the other hand, she had to know what caused the noise she heard. So he went. And eventually he came back.
Well, what did you find?
Nothing but our old trunks and suitcase and a lot of cobwebs and dust, which I might say is all over my pajamas.
Are you sure you...
Look, darling, you've just been letting that story about the house being haunted prey on your mind or something. Now, let's get back to bed and...
There it is again.
Great Scott. It really does sound as though there's something up there.
It stopped. Well, now you know I didn't imagine it. There was something up there.
But I tell you, nobody'd been up there. The dust hadn't been disturbed. There was no sign.
Stephen!
What?
There! Oh.
No. No!
Agnes Cluett, that was her name, Mr. Holmes, lived in that house for 30 years, died there too, and never owned the place, of course.
Mr. Gardner, you shouldn't have sold us that house. As a responsible estate agent...
I told you there was a story the place was haunted, Mr. Holmes. I told you that when you asked me why it had been unsold for so long. Now, you can't say I didn't.
Yes, but I had no idea. I mean, who really believes in ghosts nowadays?
People around here do, I can tell you. Great place for ghosts is Cornwall. I must say, though, you're a bit unlucky. I mean, another couple I know have a ghost in their place, a sweet, pretty young thing. Yeah, it leaves the air full of lovely perfume.
Mm. Well, whatever this thing was, it was certainly nothing like that.
Oh?
This Agnes Cluett, tell me about her.
Well, there's not much to tell. Actually, I didn't know her. I just saw her a couple of times. She died only a few years back. Left a lot of unpaid debts in the town, too. People had taken pity on her. Let her run up all kinds of bills.
She was poor then.
Aye, that she was. Poor in pocket and poor in spirit. Mean and crabby. Just the same, not everybody agreed she had to be mean. Some said she had a lot of money hidden away. Never came to light, though.
Why would she be haunting the house? I mean, if we're going to agree that Janet and I have seen her ghost, why is she there?
Well, now, I can't say handling real estate has taught me much about ghosts, Mr. Holmes. Now, I'd like to help you. And, of course, if you'd like me to list your place for sale, I...
Don't bother. I'm not selling.
Oh, you're staying on, you mean?
I'm a writer, Mr. Garden. And I've written many creepy ghost stories in my time. If I let some ghost, real or imagined, drive me out of my own home, how would I ever face myself or my public again?
Oh, I see.
No, I'm staying. And the next time that woman shows herself, she'd better be a real ghost.
There is a corner of the vineyard selected for Montauk. Montauk, Vino Blanco Selecto, a selected wine in the Spanish tradition, born of the finest white grapes, harvested from the most bountiful soil. Montauk, a wine fit for noblemen, endowed with all the richness and nobility that nature alone can bestow. Montauk, Vino Blanco Selecto, Montauk.
Peugeot 404 Automatic. Relieve traffic. Their real value for money. Incredibly remarkable. No running. Whatever your motoring problem, the 404 can cure it. Peugeot 404, more than a sugar-coated pill.
This is your thoughts on Christmas Day and every day of the year. Revlon.
For her, intimate or aquamarine, enchanting individual items, lavish gift sets, luxurious vanity bags.
For him, pub, or that man.
This Christmas, let Revlon say it all for you.
Ah, there we are, darling. When my uncle insisted on making me a present of this old sword, I never thought it would have had a practical use.
I must say, it looks awfully dangerous.
Well, if horrible Agnes shows up again tonight, She'd better not be some kind of prankster, because I'm going to have a go at her. She'd have been the ugliest woman in England if she looked anything like a ghost.
And yet, you know, I had a strange feeling about her.
Oh, how do you mean?
Well, she looked so evil, leering at us like that. And yet I couldn't help feeling she was trying to be friendly.
With that toothless grin, you must be joking.
It was in the daytime, and it was rather easier to chat about the frightful apparition than it was later as twilight closed in and day gave way to the shroud of night. In bed, they both lay awake for hours. It must have been about 2 o'clock when they heard it again.
Stephen, listen!
Easy now, darling, easy. Keep a grip on yourself. Ah, there, it's gone.
Stephen, I can't stand it. I just can't sit here and wait.
Steady, Janet, steady. We've got to wait. Hang on to yourself.
Stephen!
Dorothea.
I can't, look, I can't.
Well, I can, and this is it. All right, you, whatever you are, take that!
She was gone, the apparition, with its red-rimmed eyes, its mouth like a gash in a suet pudding, had gone, apparently, right through the closed door of the bedroom. Stephen's blood was up, however, and he was not to be stopped now.
You stay there, Janet. I'm going after it, whatever it is.
No, Stephen, please don't leave me alone.
There she is, but it says in the attic. All right, I'm going to get you, you rotten old hag.
No, Stephen, please, please don't leave me here.
Now Stephen, too, was gone, and Janet was left alone in the darkened bedroom, whimpering softly to herself. Suddenly, as she leapt out of bed, her eyes wide with renewed terror as she heard Stephen's voice from the attic.
No!
Stephen? Is that you up there?
Fear for her husband overwhelming her panic, Janet was out of the bedroom and running barefoot to the attic stairs almost before she knew what she was doing. There was no sign of any ghost as she scrambled up the rickety stairway and burst into the attic.
Stephen?
Oh, that hurt, my gosh. Hello, darling.
Oh, are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right, I think.
What happened?
I'm not sure. All I know is I followed the apparition or whatever up here. It was standing over there against the wall. I dived towards it and something tripped me up.
Tripped you up? But there's nothing there to trip over. Look, you can see for yourself.
Just the same, something tripped me. No mistake about that. I fell, bashed my shoulder against the wall. Fell and rolled over here. I hope I haven't sprained anything.
Oh, you shouldn't have tried to chase her, Stephen. You must have made her angry.
Well, I can tell you she makes me pretty angry, too. What's the matter? What are you staring at?
What's that on the floor over there? Something gleaming.
Eh? Where?
Well, this is where you said you fell, isn't it?
Yes, I've cracked the wall mighty hard, too.
Look, you made a hole in the wall. The plaster's all broken away. Stephen, there's something inside. See? Look, it's all fallen out on the floor.
I say, what is it? Too much to hope to be bags of gold or something.
That's exactly what it is. Look, here's what I saw shining on the floor.
Why, it looks like a sovereign. It is. It's an old gold sovereign.
And look, there are heaps of them here, Stephen. Just heaps of them.
And indeed there were. Several hundred sovereigns, in fact. And as all the world knows, gold sovereigns, although no longer legal currency, are worth a good deal more today than their face value. Well, later that night, downstairs, before a stoked-up fire, Stephen and Janet Holmes sipped hot cocoa and gazed in wonderment at the neat little stacks of gleaming coins on the coffee table in front of them.
You know what I think?
What?
I think this is all what it was all about. And I think you were right. She was trying to be friendly. I'm sorry I called her an old hag.
You think she was trying to let us know that all this money was hidden in the attic?
I'm sure of it. Ugly as sin, though she might be, she's a friendly old ghost. And good luck to her, I say.
Oh, Stephen, isn't it marvelous?
You know what this means, don't you, darling? It means we can afford that car we've always wanted.
Oh, yes.
And what's more, as soon as I can take these coins to the bank, that's exactly what we're going to have. A nice, bright, shiny, new car. Well, darling, what do you think of her?
Simply wonderful, Stephen. Simply wonderful. Oh, a car of our own. It's a dream come true.
Janet had good reason to suppose all would now be well and that the ghost of the old crone, Agnes Cluett, was friendly to them despite her horrifying appearance. In a way, she was, as events were to prove, yet not quite in the way the young couple supposed. That night, they didn't have to wait till they were in bed. It happened while they were enjoying their after-dinner coffee by the big open fireplace in the parlor.
Ah, that was very good. Perhaps I only imagined it, but the coffee was especially good tonight.
Mm. There's some more in the pot.
Good. I just... Oh, good grief, what was that?
My boy! My mother gave it for my birthday!
Hey, what's on earth?
Stephen, the mirror! It just fell out of the frame!
What on earth is happening?
But
she's not here. I don't see anything.
Don't you understand? She's angry with us. She's wrecking the place, Stephen. You've got to do something.
But what could he do? What could either of them do? Nothing but wait. At last, after what seemed an age, it was over, and there was a long silence. Then Janet started to cry.
There, there, Jan, old girl, bear up, eh? Step out, the lips called for, you know.
I can't help it. It's all so horrible. She leads us to that money and now this. Oh, my lovely thing, smashed to bits.
Mm, place does look pretty much of a shambles, I must say.
Whew. Oh, Stephen, what are we going to do? We must get away from this horrible place, we must. Mm,
we can't, darling. That's just it.
But why not?
All our savings are in this place. With its reputation, our only hope of selling would be to find a pair of fools like ourselves. And that, I don't believe, is possible.
But we must do something.
The following week was a constant nightmare with visitations from Agnes Cluett, a daily occurrence. And Janet's nerves had almost reached breaking point, so that she nearly jumped out of her chair when one evening Stephen broke a gloomy silence with...
Bye! George, I've got it.
Oh, Stephen, don't do that. You're going to make me jump out of my skin.
I solved the mystery, Janet. I know why she's keeping at us worse than ever.
Oh, how could you possibly?
The debts. She wanted us to use the money to pay the debts.
Debts? What debts?
I'd almost forgotten. But it just came back to me. Something Gardner said when he told me about Agnes.
Gardner?
When she died, she owed people money. People in town. She was supposed to be a pauper, you see.
Oh, I don't see what that
She wasn't a pauper. We know that. She had all those sovereigns hidden away. And she kept them all hidden till the day she died. She didn't pay what she owed.
Good heavens, you think that...
Of course. Her ghost can't rest until the debts are paid. That's quite a common sort of reason for ghosts to hang about, so they say. Never too late to mend, you know. Even after you're dead, apparently.
Well, that would account for being so angry when we bought the cart.
Yes, so she wrecked the place. Led me to the hidden money, expecting me to pay her old debts, which run into quite a bit, and I believe she owed more than £200 in rent on this place. That's what Gardner said.
And you think that if the debts were paid, then we wouldn't see her again?
I'm sure of it. I should have thought of it before.
But, Stephen, we haven't got the money now. Most of it went into the car.
I know, darling. And that's why I'm driving the car into town in the morning and selling
it. Selling it?
Selling it to pay Agnes Cluett's debts and give us all some peace.
Middle-aged, feel you're aging too quickly. Are odd aches and pains nagging you? Has your memory let you down lately? Can't concentrate in your work either? You need Salusa 45. Salusa 45 improves physical vigor, revives mental alertness, restores sound sleep.
Support. But, Mary, I want comfort.
There's nothing more comfortable than Sealy Posturepedic Firm Support.
How?
Support for your body, just where it needs it. Your muscles can relax. They sleep when you do.
So is Sealy Posturepedic not hard?
Never. Orthopedic surgeons help design it. Sealy Posturepedic's comfortable firm support gives you real comfort.
Comfortable firm support. I've got to try this.
Now, Patty, let's have that again in the proper manner.
Middle-aged, feel you're aging too quickly. Are odd aches and pains nagging you? Has your memory let you down lately? Can't concentrate in your work either? You need Salusa 45. Salusa 45 improves physical vigor, revives mental alertness, restores sound sleep. Salusa 45 makes you feel and look years younger. Enjoy life again with Salusa 45.
I'll come with you to the gate.
Oh, it's lovely out here this morning.
Oh, not as lovely as you, old girl. My word, two nights' good sleep has worked wonders for you.
You must have been right, Stephen, about her wanting you to pay those old debts for her. I'm so thankful that Mr. Gardner could find out who she owed the money to.
Well, she hasn't bothered us since I made the decision to sell the car. And I don't think we'll ever hear of her again.
I don't mind doing without the car. I'd rather have my peace of mind than... Hello?
Huh? Oh, car coming. Good, it's too early for the bus. Who will this be, I wonder?
Good morning, Mr. Holmes.
Why, it's Sergeant, what's his name? Sergeant Ward. Oh, good morning, Sergeant. Looking for me?
I am that, Mr. Holmes. Couldn't resist telling you what happened about Albert Tamblyn.
That murderer you were after. The chap who held me up on the road.
Murderer? Held you up? What on earth do you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry, Janet. Didn't want to worry with it. It was when I took the car in. Had a spot of bother with a fellow the police are after.
Were after, sir. We got him yesterday afternoon. Not far from where you said you met him.
Oh, good show. To give you any trouble? That pistol of his wasn't much good, but...
Funny thing about that, Mr. Holmes. That pistol was fully loaded. And there was nothing wrong with it. Fired the first time we tried it out.
But how odd. I told you, he must have pulled the trigger four or five times and it wouldn't go off. What did he have to say about it?
Nothing, sir. Tamblyn was dead when we found him.
Dead?
Stone dead. Lying face down on the ground. The way we figured it, he'd been clawing at the soil. His fingernails were all torn. And the expression on his face, it wasn't very nice to see. The doctor found nothing wrong with him, organically, that is. Said he died of... It sounds funny, I know, but the doctor said he died of sheer fright. Queer, that, isn't it?
Agnes.
Pardon, sir?
Agnes Cluett. He tried to steal her car.
Nobody ever solved the mystery of why the loaded gun in the murderer's hand hadn't fired, or why he himself had died so horribly. Nobody but Stephen and Janet, that is. They knew it was the work of Agnes Cluett, who had let no man stop Stephen selling the car and paying off her old debts. Those debts that had kept her unhappy soul earthbound, tied to that house wherein she dwelt as an uninvited.
Saturday night? What Saturday
Happiness.
Night?
Happiness!
And Sunday?
Yes, family!
Our
dinner guests!
And Monday?
For those of you who find Mondays one almighty washout, General Electric suggests their new super-size automatic washing machine. This front loader cleans a whopping 6.5 kilos washing spotlessly at a time. Look into this new super automatic from General Electric now and wash your hands of the week's dirty work for good.
Every Saturday evening at 9 o'clock, Springbok Radio brings you true tales of the supernatural, the eerie voice of the uninvited.
You're tuned to the national network of Springbok Radio. It's your favorite station for brighter broadcasting. An accurate time signal. When you hear the gong, it'll be precisely 9:30.
Ohio football fans, picture this.
You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Cook Unity offers hundreds of meals prepared by their roster of all-star chefs. Simply choose from their innovative variety or let them surprise you. Menus are updated weekly and new chefs are always joining the team. So you'll have fun discovering new favorites while avoiding the dreaded dinner rut. No cleanup or meal planning, just easy and effortless meals delivered fully cooked that heat up in as little as 5 minutes. Speaking of easy, Cook Unity is flexible and commitment-free. Skip deliveries, pause, or cancel anytime. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
Have you heard them? Those fearful sounds in the dead of night? The muffled creak of a loosened board? The shuffling step of a ghostly figure? The eerie voice of the uninvited?
The uninvited. True Tales of the Supernatural.
The private world of Gilbert Sharp was something very private, very personal, for he discussed it with no one, shared it with no one. Yet paradoxically, he made it public, too, through Gilbert Sharp, the writer. That sounds as though Gilbert Sharp was something of a split personality, doesn't it? Well, judge for yourselves. Gilbert lived alone in a pleasant country cottage. He liked living alone. There was a woman who came in each day to do his housekeeping, but she knew very little about him except that he was an agreeable man, easy to get along with. He had several friends whom he saw from time to time, They didn't become involved in his life, nor he in theirs. Though there was one person who would have liked to have become involved in Gilbert's life, if he'd let her. Her name was Martha Collins.
Oh, hello, Martha.
Hello, Gilbert. I've brought you some apples.
Well, that's nice of you, Martha. Very nice. Well, come in. Yes, that's very nice of you, Martha. And what lovely-looking apples.
Our trees were laden with them, remember? We'd stored so many away, I couldn't let them go to waste. I thought you'd like some.
Oh, I would. Yes, you're very kind. Put them down over there. Ah, that's right.
I thought you could munch them while you wrote.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, it's easy for you. You don't have to cook them. Don't have to stop working.
No, I can just munch.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Martha. Very kind.
Of course, it's not like cooking a proper meal. But it's better for you than not eating anything.
Oh, I do eat. You'd be surprised.
Oh, not properly. I'm sure you don't. I know what you're like.
Well, apple a day. I'll keep dozens of doctors away with these, won't I?
I was going to suggest...
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be any trouble for me to come in and cook you a meal.
Mm.
Just every now and then.
No, Martha, really. Mrs. Lake leaves things for me. I just have to heat them up when I want them.
Oh, it's not the same as a freshly cooked dinner.
Well, I wouldn't want to put you to all that trouble.
I've told you. It wouldn't be any trouble.
Well, you know me. I just like to work. You know.
Yes, Gilbert. I know.
Well, it was nice of you to call, Martha.
I've interrupted your work, haven't I?
Well...
I'll go in a minute.
Oh, no, you don't have to do that. Not for a minute. Sit down, won't you, Martha?
Thank you. I haven't seen you for nearly a week.
Well, you know how I am.
Yes. Gilbert.
Hmm?
Don't you think you ought to mix a little more with people?
Oh, I'm not much of a one for people. I'm a loner.
I don't understand it.
Well, there's nothing much to understand. I like my little cottage and...
I mean, I don't know how you can write.
It's the only way to write, Martha, being alone.
But surely... I mean, how do you know what to write about?
Hmm?
Well, when you don't mix with people, how can you write about them?
Well, I do, don't I? I sell my books, people read them, so the characters I invent must be real.
But they aren't, are they?
What?
Not real people. Not people who exist, whom you've met.
I told you. I invent them.
I don't know how you can. Because some of them...
Well,
they're so unlike you.
Well, I hope so. Well, books wouldn't be very interesting if everyone in them was like the chap who wrote them.
You're such a nice, gentle person. I'm sure you've never made a single enemy in your life.
No, I don't believe I have.
Some of the people in your books, they're dreadful people.
And I use my imagination.
But often, you write as though you hate them, really hate them.
I don't think I've ever hated anyone. Now, I don't think you could find anyone who'd say that about me.
No, I couldn't.
Yes. Funny we should be talking like this.
Why?
Well, because of a letter that came the other day. Well, no, it's not a letter, really, just a card. Yeah, I'll show it to you. It's here somewhere.
What's it about?
Well, someone's written to me. Said he's going to come and see me about the way I write my books. Said it's time we came to grips about it. That's a funny sort of phrase to use, isn't it? Time we came to grips about it.
Who is he?
Well, at first I wasn't sure.
Not sure?
Oh, you see, he didn't sign his name, just initials. J.K.
Well, surely it must be someone you know well if he just signs his initials.
And you've just said yourself. I don't know anyone well.
Oh. Oh, yes. So I did.
It was a bit of a puzzle at first.
Have you worked it out now?
Yes, I think so. It's a fellow named Jack Kelman.
Oh, who's Jack Kelman?
Oh, another writer. You know, I go up to London each year for that literary dinner. Meet lots of other writers there.
But you've never really made friends with any of them.
No, but there's a sort of professional friendship between writers, you know. When a writer's travelling, it's natural for him to call on a fellow writer, so who else could this be but another writer saying he wants to talk to me about how I write my books?
Come to grips with you about it.
That proves it, you see. A literary phrase, the kind of phrase a writer would use.
Perhaps you'd like me to come and cook dinner for you when this Mr. Kelman comes.
Well, that's very nice of you, Martha, but you see, I don't know when he's coming, do I? He just says, soon. Oh, there's the postman.
I'll get the letters for you.
Thank you, Martha.
Oh, there's only one. A card.
Oh, thank you. It's another communication from J.K.
Oh? Does he say when he's coming?
No, not really. But, well, it's quite strange.
Well, what does he say?
Well, here, you read it.
Dear Gilbert Sharp, this is to confirm that I really am coming to see you. The matter of your books is one that has to be settled once and for all. I want to give you fair notice so that you'll be in a position to know your own mind, so that everything will be quite clear between both of us when we come to grips. J.K. How strange.
Yes, it's very strange indeed. Well, what business is it of Kelman's anyway? And what a way to write. Really, it's like his infernal cheek.
Well, I think so too. Gilbert, why don't you write back to him and find out what it's all about?
Yes, I will. I'll do that. Except...
What's the matter?
Well, there's no sender's address on the card. There was none on the first one either.
Well, where was it posted?
Well, the postmark's London West 1.
And the first card?
Yeah, same postmark, the West End of London, Mayfair, Soho.
Well, you can find out where he lives, surely.
Huh? Of course! I'll contact his publisher. Then I'll know what it's all about. Mrs. Lake? Mrs. Lake!
Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Sharp.
Good heavens, can't you hear that shutter? It's come adrift.
Oh, I'll pull it closed.
Well, I wish you would. It's impossible to work.
Yes, sir. There. Now it's right.
Thank you.
You don't look too well, Mr. Sharp.
Why should you say that?
Just because you don't look too well.
Because I complain about a confounded window shutter banging in my ears? There's nothing abnormal about that, is there?
No, sir. I wouldn't think so.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Lake. I do apologize.
Apologize, sir?
Yes, for taking it out on you.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Sharp. You're entitled.
Entitled?
Entitled to a bit of an outburst every now and then. Everyone is, I'd say. Especially a gentleman like you.
What's so special about someone like me?
Oh, a gentleman who sits alone here writing books. Enough to drive anyone dotty, if you ask me.
What did you say?
Oh, I am sorry. I didn't...
You said I was dotty.
Oh, no, Mr. Sharp, I didn't. Oh, I just said that being alone all the time the way you are, writing books, all that imagination, living alone with it, I just said it's enough to...
Yes, to drive anyone dotty. I wonder if you're right. If that could be the explanation.
Explanation?
I wonder if I do become too absorbed in the characters I invent and somehow that causes things to happen.
What things, Mr. Sharp?
Nothing. Perhaps I need a rest. So I won't fly off the handle at you over a banging shutter, eh, Mrs. Lake?
You don't have to worry about that, sir.
But it is unlike me, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. You're always such an agreeable gentleman. Never a harsh word. But don't you fret about it, sir. I don't take it amiss. If there's anything more I can do to help...
No, Mrs. Lake, thank you. There's nothing... You're very kind. Very understanding.
Well, I'll get along, then.
Well, there's your coat. Now, you'll need it today.
I certainly will. Like ice, that wind is. There's snow on the way, if you ask me. Oh, there's a braise all ready for you in the kitchen, sir. You just have to heat it up when you want it.
Thank you, Mrs. Lake.
Oh, like ice. Soon as the wind drops, there'll be snow. I can feel it.
Hurry home, Mrs. Lake.
Don't you worry about them funny people now.
What funny people?
The ones you dream up for your books.
Hmm? Oh, yes, well... Goodbye, Mrs. Lake.
When his daily help had gone, Gilbert Sharp turned back to his typewriter. But the empty white page seemed to hypnotize him. He gazed at it, but neither his brain nor his fingers brought words upon it. His creative powers seemed to be frozen. Or was it simply that he was listening? That his whole mind was concentrated upon listening? And then it came. The sound he'd been waiting for. For a minute, perhaps, he sat not moving. Then, as though impelled by some kind of mechanism, he rose, crossed slowly to the door.
Gilbert, what's the matter? You look so...
Come in, Martha.
Did you think it was J.K.?
Jack Kelman?
Well, that's...
Yes, I know. There's no other person with initials J.K. that I know. But Jack Kelman isn't in England. And this morning, another card arrived.
Oh, dear.
Gilbert Sharp looked as Martha had never seen him before. No longer the quiet-mannered, agreeable person who was liked by all his casual acquaintances. Instead, a man whose nerves were on edge. A man who seemed haunted. But why?
Gilbert, I don't think you're well.
Don't keep saying that.
Well, I haven't said it before. That's...
Yes, I know. It was Mrs. Lake before. All right, so it was Mrs. Lake. Everyone thinks I'm ill. Having a breakdown, going out of my mind.
Gilbert, what is it?
I told you. Jack Kelman isn't in England. And today I got another card from J.K. posted in London, West One.
Then you've been in touch with his publisher?
Of course, that's how I know. Kelman has been in New York on business for more than a month.
Then the cards must be coming from another J.K.
Well, I don't know another person with the initials J.K. I don't have any real friends. You know that. I live alone, write my books.
Gilbert, this Jack Kelman...
Well?
What kind of a person is he?
What kind?
Well, I mean, is he strange, funny?
Well, all writers are funny, strange. Obviously, just look at me.
Could he have left the cards behind when he went to New York and had someone else post them at intervals?
But if he had done that, it would mean he was trying to persecute me.
Yes?
Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. He hardly knows me. And he'd have no reason. No. And in his latest card, he says he'll be here this weekend. And Kelman's publisher says he won't be back from New York for another month.
So this J.K. must obviously be someone else.
Yes.
Who, Gilbert?
There is no one I know of with those initials. I've searched my mind. Now that is good. Search my mind.
What?
Now that is the only possible explanation, Martha. My mind. A figment of my imagination. A whole thing. A ghastly figment.
You did get another card today.
Of course I did.
Will you let me see it?
You might as well, since you've seen the others. Here.
This isn't a figment of your imagination, Gilbert. This is real. So you mustn't torment yourself by...
Don't know what I'm talking about. How could you? Oh, my fertile imagination. Oh, my.
Gilbert, please. Let me stay here and look after you.
What?
When I saw Mrs. Lake in the village a while ago, she told me...
Ah, so that's why you're here, is it? Because you saw dear Mrs. Lake and she told you I was going out of my mind.
No, she didn't.
Now, that's the phrase to hang on to, Martha. Out of my mind. Now, that's the key to the whole thing. Yes, indeedy. You can bet your shirt on that, your cotton-picking shirt. Out of my mind.
Please, Gilbert. You shouldn't be here alone.
Ah, but I won't be. Not for much longer. I won't be alone. J.K. will be here with me. Now, isn't that something?
Now, that's exactly what I mean. This J.K., whoever he is.
Oh, whoever he is.
Gilbert.
Look, have you any thoughts on the subject, Martha? Who he is?
No. How could I have?
How could you have indeed? Not a normal, nice little country girl like you with normal, nice little country thoughts. How could you have these kind of thoughts?
Gilbert, you're afraid.
Yes, perhaps I am. You see, I could have a reason.
Because of J.K.?
J.K.
I don't know what you're thinking, who you're thinking this man is, but you should tell the police.
No.
Ask for protection if you're afraid of him.
It's nothing to do with the police. It's my responsibility. Right from the beginning, only mine. And I have to face up to it.
Then you do know.
Yes.
If you won't go to the police, let me stay, so you won't be alone.
No, Martha, you have to go. Don't you understand? J.K. and I, we have to come to grips alone.
Please.
I want you to go, Martha. I want you to leave. Goodbye, Martha.
It's beginning to snow.
Yes, you'll be all right if you hurry home now.
Oh, Gilbert, I'll ring you later to make sure you're all right. You'll answer the telephone, won't you, Gilbert?
Yes, yes, if you wish it, whatever you like. But please, you must go now, because I have to settle with J.K. alone.
Soon the snow was falling quite heavily. The world became silent, closed in. Gilbert no longer tried to write. Instead, he took down a copy of one of his own books and read it avidly. The snow had stopped falling by the time he'd finished reading it. He just sat there, waiting and waiting. It was quite late by this time, and then it came. What he'd been waiting for. J.K., of course. J.K. at last. J.K. had arrived.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You were expecting me?
Of course. Come in.
You recognize me?
Of course.
J.K.
You don't have to tell me.
I shouldn't think so.
Now, if anyone should recognize you, I should.
I've got you to thank for everything, haven't I, Sharp? My very existence. What I am.
Well, you shouldn't mind. You've enjoyed every minute.
Am I? Is that what you think?
Well, you're that kind of man.
I'm what you made me.
No, I'd almost forgotten you. When I started getting your cards, I didn't connect them with you.
Forgotten me, had you? Yes, I shouldn't be surprised. You've poured out your self-dislike in lots of other directions since you started me off on my travels.
Self-dislike?
Of course it's that. You don't mix with the living people, not enough for it to matter. So every character you create is some kind of extension of yourself. And, brother, do you hate yourself?
Yes, I expect you're right.
Right? Of course I'm right. It's not only yourself you hate, it's the rest of the world, too. As much as you've seen of the people who make up the rest of the world. But do you have a healthy, turbulent life amongst them? Not you. You're smooth as butter. Butter wouldn't melt in your mouth when you see them. You save up all your hate and your nastiness for your books and come to light with people like me. Well, what about it, Sharp? Isn't it time you started thinking about what you're doing?
Oh, I have been thinking about it. For some days now.
Ever since I started prodding you.
Oh, no, it wasn't you. Give me credit for something.
Oh, why should I? Credit? You? Why do you think you started getting those cards? Thank me for pulling you up, Sharp. Me, no one else.
Has it really been so bad for you?
What do you think? Do I have to tell you the kind of man I am?
I've just been refreshing my memory.
Refreshing your memory? That's something I must say. He creates a man like me, dumps him in the world, and then he has to refresh his memory to remember the thing he's created. Yes, it's time we came to grips with the whole concept of your writing, and you carelessly father monsters and leave them scattered around the world to do their worst.
Don't keep using that phrase.
What phrase?
You know what phrase.
Come to grips.
Yes.
I'm not surprised you're uneasy about it. You know what you should have done, don't you?
What?
For your own sake. You shouldn't have let me escape the gallows. That was a bad mistake, from your point of view.
I've realized that.
You have? Well, that shows you're not a fool. But you realized it too late. Haven't you, Sharp?
What do you want me to do?
Sharp, there's nothing you can do. Let's face it. Let's look at it squarely. Did you give me one redeeming virtue? Just one?
No. You're evil through and through.
Now, you see, you've convicted yourself out of your own mouth. Pronounced your own sentence, you might say. Didn't I do every evil thing? Didn't I murder?
You did.
But you didn't kill me off. You didn't send me to the gallows, as you should have done. You didn't pronounce my sentence. Instead, you left me there in Soho and Mayfair to go on and on. That was a mistake, Mr. Sharp. A bad mistake.
So?
So now, you and I, we've got to come to grips.
Just a minute, Miss Collins.
Yes, Sergeant.
Just a little check-in I want to do first. Right, we can go in now.
I'm so afraid that something has happened.
It's because Mr. Sharp didn't answer his telephone.
He promised me he would, but it rang and it rang. He didn't answer it.
Perhaps he was out,
At this time of night? Not Mr. Sharp. And certainly not tonight when he was expecting someone.
Well, this man, he said he was expecting this J.K. You don't know who he was, eh?
No. Mr. Sharp seemed to know, but he wouldn't tell me. He spoke so strangely. I've never seen him the way he was. Afraid and...
Yes, Miss Collins? And what?
And haunted.
Well, we'll soon find out if he's there or not.
Oh, Sergeant, he's not coming. Open the door.
Yes, I think we can do that. Ah, the light's on. Mr. Sharp?
He's not going to answer.
You there, Mr. Sharp?
He's here. He's here.
Now, don't touch anything, miss.
I haven't touched anything.
He's dead, I'm afraid.
I know. I know he is. He's been killed.
Well, we don't know that, do we? I mean, there's no signs of violence that I can see.
He was killed by that man, J.K.
You're sure those were the initials, Miss Collins? J.K.?
Of course I'm sure. Haven't I been telling you?
Yes, of course. I just wanted to be sure, because you see, this is strange.
What?
This book on the table beside him, he wrote it himself. The Outcast. See where it's open, Miss Collins? Last page. You listen to this. One day he would commit his final act of violence. Jim Kelsey would be his own executioner. See what I mean? This character, he must have invented him, I suppose, but Jim Kelsey, that's,
J.K.
The final piece of relevant information came at the inquest. Medical evidence showed that Gilbert Sharp had died after the snow had ceased falling. Yet there were no footprints in the snow leading to his cottage. So the coroner concluded that Gilbert had had no visitor that night. No earthly visitor. And being a coroner, he could scarcely give a verdict that death had occurred at the hands of the uninvited.
This story was based on fact, dramatized by Richard Lane and produced by Jim Bradley for Atrenza.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TeladocHealth/whatsyourwhy.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice.
Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.